Blog Talk Radio.
Of the truth, this is the 190th edition of SDG Sola Dea Gloria, and the title of today's message is "The Grass Isn't Always Greener on the Other Side of the Fence." It isn't, folks, and we're going to focus on Psalm 23, verse 2. He maketh me, that's Jesus, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. You know, what I want to do today, provided the Lord's willing, is I'd like to share with you a personal testimony I had from the Lord himself via his Rhema word through the power of the Holy Spirit who guides us into all truth. This is an amazing thing that happened to me and brought Psalm 23 alive while I was on a flight down to Tampa last month on a business trip. It's a two-hour flight, and I just was really having a pity party for myself. And those of you who know me know I have a business that we've been working really hard to try to bring back out of some very bad things that went through with a lawsuit from some bad partners and a federal bankruptcy and, you know, a lot of stuff. And trying to save money, I flew out of a regional airport on a airline called Spirit Airlines. It's a vacation airline. It's a discount airline, and typically I fly out of Pittsburgh, and it's all the hustle and bustle, and I fly on airlines like US Air and Delta and American, well, US Air and American now, but you know the point, United. And there's a certain way that things function. But a few of my friends said, hey, you got to be careful. That's like a party airline. There's going to be people drinking beer on there and babies crying, and you have a business trip. So anyways, long story short, I'm driving, and I'm starting to feel sorry for myself. And I get on there, and once you know, there's kids crying, and they're going to Disney World and all that stuff, and I'm just feeling miserable. So I took my Bible out, and I'm reading Psalm 23, and I said, Lord, I'm going to keep reading this until you show me something. So it's a two-hour flight, folks. I just kept reading. I just kept reading those six verses. And then I'd read verses that were related to it, and I'd be back, and I'd read those six verses. I'm there, Lord, I'm not going anywhere. I am not doing anything else until you show me something. I kind of felt like Jacob when he wrestled with that angel. So here I am wrestling with the Lord, and I'm like, Lord, bless me, show me something. There's a guy that was drinking beer. It's 7:30 in the morning. He's going on vacation, and I have a meeting with a supplier in a couple hours, and I'm just trying to stay focused, and I'm getting more and more worked up, and then that verse just started to come alive to me. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. It became so powerful to me. And what I wanted to share with you is this process that I noticed over my life, and it just like came crashing through. I remember when I was in school for 21 years. You know, I went to high school, and then I went to college, and I went to graduate school. And I kept thinking, oh, life's going to be so much better when I just get my job. Life's going to be so much better when I just get my house. Life's going to be so much better when I get married. Life's going to be so much better when I can get a good car. And this went on and on and on and on for years. And I thought I was delivered from that. And here I caught myself saying, life's going to be so much better when we just make a little bit of money that I can start to do things normally again with the company. And then it all came crashing down on me. It's better when you lie down in the green pastures that Jesus leads you to beside those still waters. It's right now, folks. He's our all in all. He's right there. And I know this might not sound like much to you, but here in the midst of that airplane with the babies crying, the kids getting all excited to see Mickey Mouse and the guy drinking beer, not just one or two, but man, they just kept bringing him beers. I'm thinking, this is weird. 7:30 in the morning. But anyways, all of a sudden, I was lying down in those green pastures. All of a sudden, I was resting beside still waters on that crazy discount airline. None of that mattered. And I had this incredible peace. And then he started to remind me all the times through the midst of all the shadows I walked through how he was always there. When the judge was about to bring her gavel down and convert us from Chapter 11 bankruptcy to Chapter 7 bankruptcy where the company's liquidated, she's bringing that gavel down. She stopped, and she said, you know what? I'm going to give you boys a second chance. She was referring to me and my two partners. She was Judge Judy, Judge Judy Fitzgerald in the federal bankruptcy court in Pittsburgh. And she stopped mid-stroke on the way down to put us into Chapter 7 and said, I'm going to give you a second chance. And then I found later that one of the dear ladies from Sozo's named Ruth, I found this out like a year or so ago, back in 2009, when we were in the midst of all this bankruptcy, was supernaturally led to be sitting in our parking lot praying for the people involved with Dielectric Solutions. Can you believe that? That is God working supernaturally. And then last week at Sozo's, we were talking about purple, and Ruth was sharing how she saw purple on her flights when she would go on vacation in the mountains, just purple, beauty. And Bill shared about how in the Song of Solomon, purple was a sign of regality. And then I walk home, come in the house, Terry has the color of purple on, and it's that scene where they're walking through the purple field of flowers. It's amazing how God talks to us. And then when I was down there in Tampa, after that peace came over me, I'm riding the shuttle bus over to get the rental car, and I see all of this beautiful Spanish moss on all the trees. You know how many times I've been down there and I've never even really noticed that? And then there was a delay getting the rental car, and we had to wait. And one couple was really upset because their daughter was down there for a college interview, and they were going to be late, and they were all upset. And there was this older woman that just sat down on a bench outside, and there was just a peace about her. And I suppose that was the peace of God. And I thought, you know what? She's sitting in the green grass beside the still waters. That's what you wanted me to do, Lord. So I went outside and just enjoyed the fresh air in Tampa, waiting for my car. And then I saw these chameleons on the side of the building, just like the ones you see in the pet stores up here in Pittsburgh. And I called Terry and said, Terry, there's chameleons all over the place. Like we have chipmunks up here in Pittsburgh. There were chameleons all over the place. And it was such a blessing. Some were like cream-colored. Others were green. It depended on the background, just like you learn in science class and you see on National Geographic, except they're all over down there. I never used to see those things. And you know what? Those were blessings, simple little blessings from the Lord. When I sat down in the green grass and allowed him to lead me beside still waters. So I wanted to share that with you, you know? And it just was such a blessing. And then on the return flight, you know, when you're not flying into a big airport like Pittsburgh International, but a little regional airport, there's no queue to land. We were 25, 30 minutes ahead of flight. We got home from Tampa in 1 hour and 58 minutes. We landed early. I got in my car, no parking fees, no hassle. I was on the highway home in a matter of minutes, no traffic, and I stopped at a local convenience store named Sheets and picked up a coffee. It was so great. I mean, you know what? Any opportunity I have, I'm going to fly out of that regional airport on that vacation airline now, because the Lord made me lie down in green pastures beside still waters. So it's just amazing. And then I realized we're very similar to sheep. Yes, sheep. You know, sheep, they typically graze from the earliest sunrise to the high and hot sun in the early morning. And then they lie down for a couple hours and they chew the cud. And that's a very important time for the sheep to get still and be quiet and digest the grass that they ate earlier in the morning. You know, they regurgitate it, and then they ruminate or they chew the cud, so to speak. And that's when the sheep grow the fastest. And that's what we need to do with God's word. And, you know, really, that's what I ended up doing without even knowing it on that flight, as I kept going over and over and over Psalm 23. You know, every shepherd knows how important it is to have a sheep lie down and be quiet for a while. And I suppose that's why King David may have written that. He maketh me lie down in Psalm 23, verse 2. So today, let's just look at how to deal with stress and this stinking thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, because it isn't. The truth is, grass is greener where it's watered, and it's watered where Jesus is. You know, our culture, it's so tense all the time, frantic, running around, just so busy, in such a hurry. And sometimes we just don't stop and think and ruminate on even what we may have read in the Bible earlier in the day. We just don't take time to be still. Amen? Now, shepherds also know that sheep don't like to drink from rushing, gurgling streams. They don't. They're afraid to drink like that. So the shepherd brings the sheep to a quiet pool. And, you know, King David wrote in the second part of that verse, he leadeth me beside still waters. So I started to just say, Lord, you know, there have got to be some comparisons between us and sheep. Because in Psalm 100 verse 3, which Terry and I just read in our daily devotion this morning, and I love it how the Lord weaves us all together. The Bible says we are the sheep of his pasture. So we get stressed and strung out because we're not lying down by that still water in that green grass. And that's why God describes us as the sheep of his pasture. Now, God isn't complimenting us by calling us sheep. When he says we're like sheep, that's really not a compliment. It's merely a description. So I got to thinking about sheep, and then I realized, you know, they aren't really the sharpest critters in the barnyard. They really aren't. In fact, sheep are just plain dumb. And I know I use that word in the Bible study I posted on my Facebook notes one time, and I offended some people. But have you ever seen a trained sheep in the circus? I mean, sure, there's trained horses and lions and tigers, and I've even heard that there's pigs in some acts in circuses, but never a trained sheep because they're not very intelligent animals. Now, you may be thinking, well, hey, I'm smart. I've got a doctorate degree. I graduated in the top of my class. Well, folks, I'm not talking about your intellectual capabilities. This is a spiritual point. This is a spiritual realm we're making this comparison to sheep, because obviously we're not sheep in the physical, but we are compared to sheep in the spiritual. I mean, remember what Jesus asked Nicodemus, one of the top intellects of his day, a Pharisee of Pharisees, one of the members of the Sanhedrin. He was one of the uppers, one of the top 50-some, you know. He said, you, a master in Israel, and yet you don't know these things? In John 3:10, he said that. So Nicodemus was very sharp intellectually, but not spiritually. He was ignorant. And that's what I'm trying to say. In that same sense, that's what we are in the spiritual realm. The Bible says, there is none that understandeth. No, not one. Look it up in Romans chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. So in the spiritual realm, truly, we are dumb like sheep are. But we're also defenseless in the spiritual realm, just like sheep. Think about it. A horse can run. A mule can kick. Lions bite. Tigers claw at you. A bear can crush you with its grip. And we all know what a skunk can do, don't we? And then there's the snake who can strike with a deadly, deadly bite. But sheep, they can't even fight. And they don't run very well, and they have poor eyesight, and they don't hear very well, except their master's voice. So overall, they're defenseless. You know, the Bible speaks of sheep as being headed to slaughter, and that's defenseless. So the point is here that sheep need somebody to defend them. And I love how Paul put it in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, where we're described spiritually in this sense, where he says that our sufficiency is of God. Praise the Lord. So the point is that we don't have it in and of ourselves. We truly don't, do we? But not only are we dumb like sheep in the spiritual sense, and not only are we defenseless like sheep in the spiritual sense, but we're directionless. We really are. We're easily lost and distracted. We head down rabbit holes. We let our emotions get in the way of the truth. We're driven by our stomach or our, you know, the weather or whatever. And we don't stay focused on the goal. And the goal is Jesus. Think about it. A sheep, they'll browse here, nibble a bit there, wander further and further away from the flock. And soon they look up and they're lost. Doesn't that sound like us? You know, cows will come back to the barn, and so will a horse when it gets lost. And did you ever try to get rid of a cat? People are always dumping them out here at our place. We have another stray cat coming up. You could tell it was a healthy house cat that somebody dumped. And if it'll warm up to us, we'll adopt it and take it to the vet and get it fixed and make sure it's healthy. And it'll just hang out here with us and our other two cats. And then there's homing pigeons. Think about them. They come back. They don't have to be sought or brought. But sheep do. That's the nature of sheep. And remember what God said about his people in the book of Hosea. My people are bent to backsliding from me. Hosea chapter 11, verse 7. And in plain English, that just means we have a tendency to get away from God. And that's the sheep's nature. And they need a shepherd. And that's what makes them dependent. In fact, have you ever heard the term of a sheep being cast? Well, a cast sheep is a sheep that may be laying in that green grass, and it kind of just kind of stretches or rolls, and it's on a little bit of a slope, and it rolls over on its back, and it can't get up. It can't get up. It starts pawing in the air, and it doesn't have enough strength or agility to roll over and get back on its feet. Now, in that position, a sheep is extremely vulnerable to predators, a vulture, a wolf. And another very serious concern is bloating. See, when a sheep's in that position, it's got all that grass in its gut. The digestive gases, they start to build up. And that sheep literally becomes so bloated that it can't even breathe. And if it's not rolled over by the shepherd, circulation's cut off, and that cast sheep will literally die. And then think about what King David said in Psalm 42, verse 5, when he said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" So when we're in that position and we can't turn over and get right, our shepherd comes and turns us over. Praise the Lord. You know, so many times in our walk with Jesus, we just roll over, get into that cast position, and then our good, great, and chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to come over, pick us up, and put us back on our feet. Has he ever done that for you? When you're down and out and you just can't get back up? Well, thank God and praise the Lord for our good, great, and chief shepherd. So we are like sheep in the spiritual sense. And that's why we have a tendency to be stressed and always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of that fence, but it isn't. So we are his sheep. And the truth is that we're the people of his pasture. And that's what we need to understand. If we're ever going to learn how to deal with this stress that we all have in our lives because of the circumstances of life, and how to stop thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of that fence, and as soon as I get my new boyfriend, as soon as I get my new job, as soon as I dump my hubby, as soon as this or as soon as that, everything's going to be okay, when in fact the grass is greener right here where it's watered by Jesus. So let's look at how to deal with this stress and how to understand that that grass is literally greener if we seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, back in verse 2, it says a lot of things right there about how to handle stress. Verses 1 and 2 says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters." Now, there's three truths in those two verses that I just want to share with you. And again, this stuff just started to come alive to me on that flight. The first thing we need is security. We truly do. And think about the security we have in the good chief and great shepherd, Jesus. Just say to yourself, "I'm secure in Jesus." Just say that right now. Make that declaration. "He leadeth me. He maketh me." And remember who he is. He's Jehovah Elohim. Jehovah is my shepherd, so say it. Remember, Jehovah in the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd," in John chapter 10, verse 11. So he's the good shepherd. He saved us from the penalty of our sins. He's the great shepherd. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 says, "The God of peace brought the great shepherd of the sheep, our Lord Jesus Christ." So he's saving us from the power of sin in our lives. And then Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4 said, "And the chief shepherd shall appear." And I should say, "When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory." So he's coming back, folks, and he will save us from the very presence of sin when we're delivered and given our glorified bodies, and we'll be like him. So he's our good shepherd. He's our great shepherd. He's our chief shepherd. And we can be secure in this truth when we follow Jesus, our shepherd. And then let's look at the characteristics of this incredible shepherd we have. First of all, he has compassion. Isn't that awesome? He truly does. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, "But when he," that's Jesus, "saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad, like sheep having no shepherd." So the Bible says that Jesus was moved with compassion. Now that word "moved" in Matthew 9:36, it's a very powerful word. And it literally means to convulse or to be convulsed. So it's a hurting right down in your belly. It's a deep, deep move of the Spirit upon you. So Jesus was convulsed, moved by the Spirit, and he felt for his people. And he saw them as sheep having no shepherd. And that's what caused him to leave heaven and come down here and die for us. So when you think about the good, great, and chief shepherd, first of all, think about his compassion. And then also think about how caring he is. This is one of the most beautiful verses in all the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11. "He," that's Jesus, "shall feed his flock." That's us, folks. "Like a shepherd, he shall gather the lambs of his arm, and he shall carry them into his bosom, and he shall gently lead them, they that are young." Has he ever carried you in his bosom? Aren't you glad the Lord's so tender to us? Aren't you glad that God gives us what we need and not what we deserve? Oh, amazing grace. How sweet the sound, eh? Wow, praise the Lord. You know, when a newborn lamb is delivered, when a newborn lamb is born, it's weak. And Jesus takes that baby lamb, that little baby Christian, that spiritual lamb, and he carries them. But many of us, we don't do that, do we? When we see a brand new Christian that just came out of paganism or some sort of other corrupt, carnal lifestyle, and they don't know much, they just know that Jesus is their Lord, they put their hands up and said, "I surrendered to Jesus," and they trust him. How sad it is that we give them a theology test right away. How sad it is that we show them the straight and narrow and we say, "Start walking that way." We're so wrong to say, if you can't do this or do that, you're going to fail. Jesus doesn't handle the situation like that. And thank God for that. Because when I was a little lamb, he carried me, praise the Lord. And if he didn't, I would have never made it. He didn't say to me, "Sink or swim, bro, Ken." No, he was there. He picked me up. He carried me. just like Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says. So he's compassionate, he's caring, and he's also courageous. He's the courageous shepherd, and I love our Lord Jesus. In John chapter 10, verse 11, I said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Those are the words of Jesus in red. Praise the Lord. Remember, there are demonic wolves out there. They're after you and me. There are so many dangers out there as a sheep of his pasture. There truly is. Jesus said, a false shepherd, one who's only paid by the hour, a hireling, he'll flee as soon as the wolf comes. But not Jesus. He said, I'm the good shepherd, and I'll fight for my sheep. Read it in John chapter 10, verses 11 through 13. The Bible says that the disciples, when Jesus was, you know, going to lay his life down, they said, don't go to Jerusalem, Jesus. Don't go down there. It's dangerous. They're going to hurt you. If you go down there, they'll kill you. Don't go to Jerusalem, whatever you do. But the Bible prophesied in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, he, that's Jesus, set his face like flint towards Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Now that's the courage of our shepherd. Amen? So I hope you understand that we're weak like sheep. But we have a compassionate shepherd, a caring shepherd, this courageous shepherd named Jehovah Elohim. And in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus said, I'm the door. So he's also the door of the sheep. Now you may be wondering, is he the shepherd or is he the door? Well, the answer is yes, because the shepherd literally becomes the door. Praise the Lord. Now, you may be wondering, how's that happen? Well, back in the day, the shepherds, they'd build these enclosures out of rocks. They could be in a circle, they could be in a square, and they'd leave an opening just the width as they are tall. So after they called all their sheep into their sheepfold and counted them and made sure they were well and secure, what the shepherd would do is he would lie down after sheep were counted and inspected. He'd lie down across the opening, and nobody got in or nobody got out without him knowing it. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 7, I am the door. So Jesus is saying that nobody could get to you except he first comes through me. And anybody that climbed over that wall, in or out of the sheepfold, is a trespasser. So there's no other way into the spiritual realm except through Jesus. Isn't that awesome? That's so great, isn't it? And that's the reason he said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. John chapter 10, verses 27 and 28. So what we need in order to deal with stress, number one, it's security. He maketh me. He leadeth me. Never forget that. So follow him like a good sheep. So we may be weak like a sheep, but he's strong. He's the strong shepherd. He's the good shepherd. So the first thing we see that we have a need for is security, and know you have it in Jesus. You're secure in Jesus. And that security helps us to deal with stress and realize the green grass is right here where we water it with the word. Praise the Lord. Right where you're at in this circumstance right now, that's the green grass. If you allow him to water you with those still waters, if you allow him, if you listen to him and allow yourself to lie down in the green grass, it's right here. But not only is there security, there's sufficiency. He maketh me lie down in brown, withered pasture. No, that's not what the scriptures say. He leadeth me beside a muddy puddle, dried up brooks. No, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Praise the Lord. So all we need is to find more Jesus. All we need is more Jesus. That's it. The point is the grass isn't greener anywhere else, folks. The grass wasn't going to be any greener on a regular commercial flight from U.S. Air. The grass was green right there on Spirit Airlines with those kids making all that noise and that guy drinking all that beer. So why do we get stressed? We get stressed because we think our needs aren't going to be met. And so we say, oh, my. I'm not going to get this, or I'm not going to be that, or I'm going to be so miserable on this flight down to my business trip. I'm not going to be rested. But remember the passage in Matthew where Jesus tells us not to worry, and he tells us what people worry about. He said, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That's food. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. That's fashion. Don't worry about these things. So we're not supposed to worry about food, friends, fame, fortune, fashion, fitness. No. But that's exactly what people worry about, isn't it? Jesus said, after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. Now, he isn't saying these things aren't important, because they are. But he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. So the point here is that these things don't take on significance until we have our deepest needs met. And he's talking about what we need in the spiritual sense, why we need to lie down in green pastures and near still waters. Is he talking about your bank account being full? No, of course not. Remember, Psalm 22 comes before Psalm 23, and after Psalm 23 comes Psalm 24, and they're the trinity of Psalms. Back in Psalm 22, verse 6, it says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. And what are they eating? Well, listen to it in the rest of the verse. And they shall praise the Lord that they seek him. So that's the food. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Jesus is the food. He said, I'm the bread of life. He's the living water. We have to eat him. If we eat this bread, we'll never be hungry. And then Psalm 22, verse 29 says, all they that be fat upon the earth shall eat and worship. Did you hear that, folks? Praise the Lord. All that be fat. So God wants healthy sheep. So what's this green grass signify? Well, the green grass is his word. And what do the waters speak of? The still waters are his Holy Spirit. So we're going to find our satisfaction in him. And if you don't find your satisfaction in him, you're going to be stressed. That's the point. So I'm telling you, that's why you're stressed. Because the deepest needs of your heart aren't being met by all these things you're chasing after in the world. All that green grass you think there is on the other side of the fence. That new car, that new job, that degree, that new girlfriend, that new friend on Facebook. Your deepest needs are never going to be met by all those things. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So the Bible is to spiritual man what bread is to natural man. And then Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. So it's all about knowing and understanding that we're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Now, this word blessed comes from the Greek word makarios, and it literally means to be satisfied, to be content, to be congratulated, to be joyful. So a lot of times when people ask me how I'm doing, I'll say I'm blessed, and they'll look at me like, oh, yeah, really? With all the garbage you have going on at your business, with all the stuff that's just like pulling you 10 different ways, and you're blessed? Well, when I say I'm blessed, I'm taking all these things and rolling into that one word, meaning blessed. And notice what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. So when I tell you I'm blessed, what I'm really telling you is that I'm finding that when I hunger and thirst after righteousness, there is this blessing that comes over me, this satisfied, content feeling in the midst of all this craziness. And then literally, I realize that right where I'm at, the grass is really green. So those green pastures are his word. And those still waters are the Holy Spirit revealing these rhema truths to me. So how many people do you know that have a hunger for the word and a thirst for the Spirit? I don't know too many folks, even people in the ministry. They're just running about doing a bunch of busy work. And you know what I say busy is? Busy is burdened under Satan's yoke. B-U-S-Y. Notice Jesus didn't say, blessed are those who seek after blessedness, happy are those who seek after happiness. He said, blessed are those who seek after righteousness. So the truth is that most unhappy people in this world, they're trying to be happy. Next time you go on vacation at some resort or some getaway, just look at the faces of the people walking the streets and touring all the things. You'll see the most miserable faces you've ever seen at a resort. And a lot of times, you'll see very content faces found on those people at the service station or in the office or the one serving you the food at the resort. And those are the people who truly understand these things. So people who seek happiness generally aren't happy. People who seek a blessing generally aren't blessed. And that's strange because the point is happiness is something you'll never find if you're looking for it. Blessing is something you'll never find if you're looking for it. It's they're byproducts of righteousness. And so unhappiness and not being blessed comes from being self-centered and in sin. God engineered it that way. Praise the Lord. He loves us so much that he engineered us so that we would never be content, we would never be blessed, would never find happiness without Jesus. That's why he said to Adam and Eve after they left the Garden of Eden, cursed is the ground for your sake. Notice God didn't say for your judgment, but rather for your sake. So he put a curse on the ground with thorns and thistles on a rose, and he said, you're going to have this for your sake? But why would he say that? Well, the point is that as sinful men and women, we have a diseased heart. And if we lived in paradise, we'd never know that we needed Jesus. So he gives us the thorns and the thistles and the problems and the heartaches to say, hey, there's something wrong here. We need something deeper, more meaningful than this. Now, what's wrong is sin, and the answer is to practice righteousness. Amen? Yet sadly, so many people try to get rid of these thorns and thistles, but they don't deal with the root cause, which is sin. Now, suppose you go to the doctor and you have a terrible headache, and you also have a horrible fever and a pain and swelling. So there's a deep infection down inside, but all the doctor does is give you some strong painkillers, and they may reduce the fever, but it never deals with the infection. Now, would that be a good doctor? You don't want them to just kill the pain. More importantly, you want them to get rid of the source of the pain, the infection. Well, in our spiritual life, that's the sin. So we shouldn't go to church just to feel good. We should go to church to deal with the root cause of all of our problems, sin. We should turn from sin and begin to practice righteousness. That's the point. And when you deal with that, you're dealing with the root cause. So seek righteousness, and then you'll be blessed. And then you'll start to feel joy. And then in circumstances, you'll be happy because you'll get able to deal with stress. Remember, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. That's his word. He maketh me drink in still waters. That's his spirit. Praise the Lord. So we all have these deepest needs, and they can only be met through Jesus. And when we have those needs met in the right way, that's true worship to God. So to drink of the Spirit and to feed on the Word, we find our sufficiency. And that's the truth. And that's when our deepest needs are met, and that's only when we walk in relationship with Jesus. So like Jesus said, men shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So remember, that's our good shepherd. Praise the Lord. We have security in him. We have sufficiency in him. And also, serenity. He maketh me lie down. Wow. So the truth is, the sheep will not lie down unless they're content. Think about that for a minute. A sheep won't lie down unless they're content. So do you ever see people, they hurry? I noticed that at the airport when I landed in Tampa. I wondered, where are all these people going? And they're running like off to a race. And usually that was me. But that day, I didn't do it. I walked. I walked calmly, and I praised the Lord. And I just watched people. And you know what I saw? I just saw them running off here and there and to the race. And then when I got on the highway in my car after I saw those chameleons on the wall while I was waiting for my rental car, these people, they're running in and out and doing this and going this way and that way. They have no time for serenity. No time for quietness. And you know, it just struck me. If it's not a sin rushing around like that, I don't know what is a sin. I believe now in my heart, it's a sin not to be quiet. But the world's programmed us to think it's a sin if we are quiet. It's a sin if we take a moment to be still. But Psalm 46, verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And the Bible says in Isaiah 30, verse 15, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So the shepherd makes the sheep lie down to chew their cud. And remember, I mentioned they have this process they go through in digestion. It's a two-step process. And that's the same thing we have to do when we feed upon the Word of God and out of my stubbornness, that's what happened to me on that flight down to Tampa. I chewed and ruminated on Psalm 23. The Bible says, in his law doth he meditate day and night. And there are so many scriptures that just tell us that we just really need to ruminate on his word. We really need to chew the cud, so to speak. Psalm 19, verse 14 says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And then Psalm 104, verse 34 says, my meditation of him shall be sweet, I will be glad in the Lord. And 119 verse 15 says, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. So what's wrong with most of us, even those of us who say we're in the Word every day, is we don't take time to lie down in green pastures beside the still waters and meditate and allow this grass to be watered by the living water, the Holy Spirit. Wow, isn't that sad? So even those of us who study the Word of God, how much time do we really allow this Word to be digested and assimilated into our very beings? This incredible truth that the Lord's given us. You know, most Christians, they think they've done God a wild favor if they go to church on Sunday, prayer meeting on Wednesday afternoon, and read their Bible for a half hour every day. But do they actually take any time during the day to meditate and ruminate upon what they read? Do you? I know sometimes I don't. Do we take time to just sit still? I had to. I was on that flight. I had 2 hours. Wow, what a blessing it was. So if you expect God's going to give you something, if you don't take the time to sit down and ruminate upon it, and even write it down, have a notebook. There's a lady at Sozo's. She writes it down every day. She has this notebook, and the incredible things that come out of it. Her name's Carol. God bless you, Carol. Such powerful things come out of her mouth. You know, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it abundantly, but we're so busy running to and fro, we miss it. Oh, it's so sad. Sometimes I hear people tell high school graduates, and you're going to be hearing it this spring here when people start to graduate, go out and make all the money you can just as long as you make it honestly. Well, that's not true, folks, because people, that's not good advice. If you're doing that, there are things you aren't doing. You're not spending time with your family. You're not spending quiet time alone with the Lord. You're not making time to worship. So you're not making the priorities right in your life. David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Psalm 119, verse 67. And in another place he said, it has been good for me that I have been afflicted. So all this stuff that happens to us is really good if it turns us to the Lord. And we really understand why he maketh me lay down. So why not just do it? Why not just lie down and avoid being afflicted? And that's the right way to deal with stress. Remember, if we're a distressed sheep, we're not producing wool. We're not producing fat. We're not producing lambs. We're simply not productive in the spiritual sense. So folks, he maketh you and me lie down. So lie down. He loves you. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be productive. So remember, the cure to stress and the grass is always greener syndrome is to realize that in Jesus Christ we find our security. He's the good shepherd. In Jesus Christ we find our sufficiency. There's green pastures. In Jesus Christ we find our serenity. He maketh me. He maketh me to lie down. Praise the Lord. So we can say just as King David said, the Lord is my shepherd. Praise the Lord. Not a shepherd. The shepherd. The good shepherd. So if you know Jesus, but you've wandered astray, just listen for his voice. You'll recognize it. When you hear his call, come back to the sheepfold. And if you don't know Jesus, if you're not saved, or if you're not certain you're saved, can I help you right now for a moment? Can you say a prayer like this out of your heart? Just pray silently but fervently. Oh, dear God, I need you. I want you. I know that I'm lost. I know I've gone astray. I know I'm a cast lamb. I want to be forgiven. I want to be made whole, Lord. I want you to be the cornerstone in my life. I want strength for living through you. Father, I know I've sinned. I know Jesus died for my sin. I repent of my sins. I agree with you, Father. It's wrong. I turn from my sins, and I turn to Jesus. I know he's the good shepherd. He died for his lost sheep. He died for me. Thank you for paying my sin debt, Lord. Thank you for paying it all. Thank you that you loved me so much to die for me. And then just say, now, Lord Jesus, I surrender. I surrender to you. And allow him to come into your heart. Would you just pray like that? Save me, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive me. Save me, Jesus. Did you ask him? And by the faith of Jesus Christ, according to the promise of his word, ask him. Ask him to give you strength to go out and bear testimony for him. You know, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, folks, if you did that right now, if you called upon the Lord, I believe that he has saved you. And then just thank him for saving you. Just thank him. Thank him for saving you. And just say, by faith now, Father, your faith, I know you're my shepherd. You're my savior. You're my friend forever. And now, Lord Jesus, I'll live the rest of my life and never be ashamed of you and bear testimony to all I see. In your precious name I pray, amen. I love you all. So remember, the grass is greener right here when you lie down and allow the water.
Your goodness.